Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, teenage years often include big emotions, big pressure, and a world that expects them to have it all figured out. So today we're talking about guiding teenagers towards self-acceptance and confidence with someone who's listened to over 20,000 young voices along the way. Former GAA star Tony Griffin, author of The Teenager's Book of Life, is joining me on the line now. Tony, you're very welcome.
Hi, Claire. Thank you.
So you've listened to a whole host of teenagers. Why did you want to do that?
I suppose whatever you do, very often when it comes to working with other people, it comes from something you needed yourself. And I suppose as a teenager, I was the kind of guy who looked like he had it all figured out on the outside, but inside felt very low in confidence, unworthy, gangly in his body, and often thought he was the only one that felt that way. And then just throughout my life, I was certain experiences, my own ups and downs brought me to question, how do we prepare young people for real life, not necessarily for academic life? And I looked around the world for someone who was doing something. This is 2011, global financial crisis times. Came across an Irishman called Jim Steins down in Melbourne, sold my car, went down, studied what Jim was doing with teenagers. It was very evolved, and we brought it back to Ireland and called it SOAR, as in to take off or to glide. And all of a sudden it was like a tsunami of demand from schools to come and run these workshops. So I had the privilege really of every week listening to hundreds a week talk about their lives and the lives they were living behind the masks they felt they had to put on to fit in. And so after 9 years, one day I just said, we had two small boys, and I said, I'm going to write what I've learned before I forget it. And 6 weeks later, The Teenager's Book of Life was done.
And what were some of the things you heard from teenagers time and time again?
The biggest one is really what all of us adults feel. There's a question about, who am I? Where do I belong? Am I enough? Am I good looking enough? You know, am I capable enough? Comparison. And then all the other things that go on in life, like very often things like divorce and family breakdown, just the whole range of issues. A big one was grief. That's why we added a chapter this year to the book on grief, because so many teenagers say their first brush with losing a loved one is that grandparent that they could talk to, who was, you know, who was good fun, who didn't tell them they couldn't do this or that. And that was a big part of it. And very often it was just wanting to be liked by others and understood, and feeling like they were the only one in the world that was going through what they were going through, because they felt it was a weakness to talk about it or to even show other parts of themselves that weren't the ideal perfect part.
You were saying about your own experience as a teenager, and I think, you know, listeners will be thinking back to the challenges of their own teenage years. Are teenagers today under more pressure than previous generations?
You know, every generation has greater challenges than the one before. And that's because of the changes in how we live socially very often. But I think the problem, like when I was a kid, my refuge was, I was big into hurling, was the hurling pitch. And I felt different when I was on a hurling pitch. I felt like I was valuable. But also like ups and downs. I remember, you know, being punched at a teenage disco because I kissed someone else's girlfriend and I didn't know. You know, I went home that night and that guy never really bothered me again because he went to a different school. Whereas the big difference, and we know this, is how young people and their lives depend so much on being connected to the virtual world. And in that virtual world, a world that a lot of parents don't fully understand to the same extent, it is even harder for them to define their own sense of who they are, because they're being bombarded with who they should be and who they need to be. And that's a really hard thing for a teenager in that phase, because Claire, in that phase, our brains are changing in so many ways, and we're changing in a way that we're looking for our tribe or where to belong. And that's where places like the Netflix series Adolescence showed us. It's a new world, and that's where personal connection, like if you say to a lot of adults or parents, a lot of teenagers have lost the social skills to look you in the eye, speak to you, because they don't necessarily need to usually. They can just go onto their phone. So that's why I wanted to write the book, is to help them understand who they are beyond who they feel they should be to fit in.
And it's the age of distraction, isn't it? That constant stream of entertainment, be it on the TV or on the phone, it doesn't give much time for self-reflection. I'm not sure how self-reflective I was in my teens, but there was certainly more time to be self-reflective when the three shows I watched weren't on anymore and I was just sitting in my room.
There was less distraction. So a lot of the book is about how do we befriend and, you know, name it, tame it, our feelings. Most of us, unknowingly, unconsciously, we're running away from ourselves or the feelings we have about certain things, our anxiety about the little and, you know, the big A and the small A. And so it's so easy now for young people to become distracted or to be distracted away from how they feel, how they really feel deep down. But those things don't go away. They come up again and again. And very often, you know, when you're in the swimming pool and you're pushing down the beach ball, the more you push it down, the further and higher it comes up. And that's where I think we really need to look at creating space for young people to just sit and be and talk to each other to understand, because that's what they'll do most of all. Rather than sit in their room necessarily, they'll and that's what we learned with SOAR. When they're together, we had 50, 100 in a class and they would blow each other's minds by, you mean that's what your life is really like? But that's not what you put online. And then they feel like they have more permission to be themselves, or they're more authentic, they're less perfect self, they're rawness.
What do you think of the secondary school system? Is it serving our teenagers in the way it should? And I say that with the greatest of respect for people working within it as well, because look, you've said there were schools up and down the country who welcomed you in with open arms. You know, it's not that there is a hesitancy around this in all schools, but is it serving teenagers in finding out who they are and making space like this for them?
Well, I, like you, have huge respect. I know many teachers who perhaps are listening to this and they go above and beyond. And I met many teachers who would have got SOAR in when SOAR was a controversial thing, because we were letting teenagers cry. We were letting them, if that's what they want to do, or rage, or want to pick up the chair and throw it across the room. It was all valid. And so many schools were very progressive and let us do that. I think what isn't serving young people is the structure and the container that our secondary schools are. We've great facilities, we've great teachers. We are starting to look at a well-being curriculum and bring in the SPHE. But if most, and this could be controversial, but most of our preparation of teachers aren't teaching them about the psychology or the what is required to understand within themselves. Like, you can only teach what you've understood yourself experientially. It's one thing cognitively, logically, but it's another thing to know what that feels like. And so I think we could really benefit from reimagining the purpose of our education system. I think we're lost in that. We're preparing them for a world that they necessarily aren't fully prepared for on the inside. And our rates of, this isn't my opinion, the rates of research and data around, you know, anxiety in 20-year-olds, self-harm, all, it's all there. It's speaking to us. And it's for us to now take a step back. The challenge is, it's like trying to move a tanker with a toothpick. The school system is so large and ingrained that what I think you're going to start seeing more and more of, Claire, and we saw it 10 years ago, but it's gathered pace, are these young people who opt out of school, that they just stop going. And I know that's on the rise anecdotally from talking to teachers. And I think you're going to see more of that until we do move that tanker in the direction that young people need it to be going.
So how do we manage this book? I'm just conscious it can be difficult sometimes as the parent of teenagers or the caregivers to give advice in the right way that's met with open arms. I'm thinking of a book I have at home on relationships and consent, and both my kids have a teen and a tween, and it's met with a bit of an eye roll. So how do we manage how we communicate with our teens?
So I always say to parents, this is like the Trojan horse though, into Tara. You don't give it to them. Even if you buy it for them, you leave it somewhere. How you relate, and you know this yourself, how you relate to them as little kids has changed now. It's a brand new field of play. And understand what it's like to be them, because they respond to that level of honesty. It's hard for parents to do that. So I always say to them, it's reconnected with your own teenage self. And then it's not necessarily what you say to your teenager. It's where it's coming from. It's coming from a place in you that you are understanding them, you're validating how they feel, because you can reconnect to how it felt for you.
Yeah, I really agree with you. And I've really found the most effective communication I've had in my own house has been, you can level with them. I mean, yes, okay, we're still in charge, but we don't have to be a big authority over them. You can really level with them and listen. Sometimes just sit and listen to what they have to say. I think it's fabulous, the work that you're doing, Tony. I hope that we get to cross paths again in some way. The book is called The Teenager's Book of Life. You can find out more about Tony's work at tonygriffin.ie. Tony, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.